Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, you guys are all well. And welcome back to another head of the podcast episode. Once again, it's been a minute, but I just want to get straight into it because we're in the best 10 days of the year. And subhanAllah, I think I've got an episode where it's talking about like the virtues and why the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are so important. And there are so many beautiful resources and YouTube videos and lectures online that tell you about the importance of Dhul Hijjah. And similar to the pre-Ramadan episode that we had, we want to make this sort of like a different approach. Okay, so with Ramadan, it was like, how are you preparing for it? Like, are you even going to take this seriously? And we had a halaqah last night at my local musalla. And we talked about like sacrifice in the lens of Dhul Hijjah, in the lens of looking at Ibrahim alayhi salam's story. And subhanAllah, it was pretty like interesting to just sit down and talk about this. And I really wanted to share like what we talked about yesterday and also some other reflections that I want to bring in. And so, as I said, like I won't be talking too much about the virtues of Dhul Hijjah. Just know that like these 10 days are more beloved, more important, more blessed than the 10 days of Ramadan. Any days in Ramadan is even in the last 10 nights. The nights of Ramadan are more important than the nights of Dhul Hijjah, these 10 days that we're in. And the days of Dhul Hijjah are more important than the nights of Ramadan. And the day of Arafah, which is, I think it's June 15th here, is better than the night of Laylatul Qadr, like the day of the day of Laylatul Qadr. Like, does that make sense? Like, Ramadan has its special 10 nights and that special one night being Laylatul Qadr. And the thing with that is we don't know exactly which night Laylatul Qadr falls upon. But with these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we're in them right now. And we know that the most important day of the whole entire year, the day of Arafah, we know that it is the ninth day of this month, ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. So, like, we have no excuse. Like, we should literally be trying to do as much as we can. And we talked about it with the girls, like, every single year, subhanAllah. Like, there's always like this Ramadan countdown, 60 days left, 40 days left, 50 days left. And it's like Dhul Hijjah just comes and it just catches you by surprise. And we can't do anything about it like right now. Inshallah, next year we can plan and prepare better. But the funny thing is, we literally said that last year. So subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. But we're in it now. And so it's like, well, let's talk about Dhul Hijjah. We know it's important, so we can touch on that a bit. But what are you going to do in these 10 days? Like, what sacrifice are you going to give up? And the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, especially the day of Arafah, is so important. And the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is important, and especially the day of Arafah, where the ninth day, 15th of June, fasting it will remove your sins from the previous year and the future year to come. There is no other day in the Islamic calendar or whatsoever that gives you this specific reward. So for the Hujjaj that are out there, they're out there, but you and I here right now, we can fast. There should be no excuse. Like, unless you're sick or you're physically not able to do, every single one of us should be fasting the day of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasting the day of Arafah removes your sins from the previous year and the year to come as well. No other day in the Islamic calendar gives you this. So make sure that you are fasting and prepare and like plan that you will be fasting on this day, and don't just let it go by. The du'as made on the day of Arafah is like immense, like barakah and rewards as well. So really, really push yourself, inshallah. In terms of the day of Arafah, like a couple virtues of it is it's the day where when we were all in the world, in the realm of souls, and we won't even come. Every single soul that was created was gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He asked us, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And then we all replied, the kuffar, the non-kuffar, the Yahud, every single one of us replied, yes, like, Bella, you are. And that was on the day of Arafah. And there was another incident that I heard. A Jewish man came up to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said that there is like a verse that you guys have, and if it was revealed to us, then we would take the day that it was revealed to as a holiday. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked which one, and it was the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as your religion. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, I knew where this ayah came down was revealed and when it was, and it was on the day of Arafah. And so this ayah came down, say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was like, khalas, this Islam, it's perfect, it's the deen I have chosen for you guys, and that came down on the day of Arafah. And so, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there is no deed more beloved to Allah than the deeds performed on these 10 days, on these 10 days, and absolutely every single deed that you do in these 10 days is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more beloved and more greater in reward and blessing than any other day of the year. So really, really keep your tongue moist with your dhikr. Give in sadaqah every single day. Pray all your sunnah prayers. Make sure you are praying your prayers on time. There was a sahaba that came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him which deed is the most beloved to Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first thing he said is that your prayers on time. And then the guy asked, and then what? And then he said, being good to your parents. And then the guy said, hey, and what? And then he said, jihad, fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the first thing that is most beloved deed to Allah is your prayers on time. So do the most beloved deed to Allah in the most beloved days to Allah. It's like a win-win. You can't go wrong if you do that. And so I really want to go and straight into talking about like the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is sort of where we've had our gist of halaqa and our talking point from it yesterday, because this is really just, his legacy that we're living in. And as we are going about our days in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, there's that ceremonial and that significant qurbani sacrifice that we have to give, or at least the head of every household has to give. And it's following the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But let's take the physical, you're going about these days and you're going to be sacrificing that sheep, that goat, or that cow. What are you really sacrificing? Like, why are you going and paying all this money, sacrificing this sheep or this goat, but you're not sacrificing the filthy words that are coming out of your tongue? You're not sacrificing that sin that you should be giving up. You're not sacrificing that poor habit or that poor behavior or your lack of salah or your lack of this and that. Dig deep and see what sacrifice you have right now that you need to give up in these 10 days, because it's beyond just the physical. Anyone can pay for a cow or a goat or go and sacrifice it, but not anyone can do that jihad, that struggle within themselves and give up something for the sake of Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, this whole Dhul Hijjah, this whole Hajj, this whole sacrifice, it's all following in his footsteps. So why have we lost the essence of why we're actually really doing this, and we're just doing this like robots? Ibrahim alayhi salam, let's just talk about his sacrifice and his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been waiting so long. He's been waiting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for so long to have a son, and it's only just born. And Ishaq wasn't even born at this time. So he's got this son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him in a revelation to tell him to go and sacrifice his son at this point and at that place. And can you just imagine? Like, it's not something easy. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he gives us the feelings of the people. Like, he describes how these people were feeling throughout it all. And fast forward, when he is going to sacrifice his son, he doesn't want to do this, but he is submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And something that we discussed is, in terms of the aqeed and the creed and the conviction that Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail and Hajar had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Indeed, Allah orders justice and good. Allah doesn't order anything besides good. Allah doesn't order anything besides justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't told us to do anything unless it is for our benefit. And subhanAllah, if you have this thing, if you have this in your mind, you can be like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am going to do it. And so it's like, look at the way we are so hesitant and we are so tiptoey upon the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do, but we are still picky and choosy in it. Even though it's not to the level of sacrificing your own son, you have your own sacrifices, you have your own jihad. It's not same level in terms of the action, but you know what you have to do. Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to do this, and he went and did it. Sami'na wa ata'na. He just listened and he obeyed. And so when we're talking about the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's going there to sacrifice his son. And Hatta is his son. His son is like, is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do? And then Ibrahim alayhi salam says yes, and he's like, khalas, that's it. He's like, Dad, like, at least when you cut my throat, like, turn your face away, and or turn my face away, so we don't make eye contact. Like, subhanAllah, what level of submission did these people have? Or even when Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving Hajar in the middle of the desert with a newborn baby, and then Hajar is like, where are you going? What are you doing? And Ibrahim alayhi salam is just walking off. And then she's like, is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do? And he like gives a slight nod, and she's like, that's it. She goes and she does. And then look at the legacy of what she did, like running between Safa and Marwa and the well of Zamzam. Like, all that whole story came from her, and that essence of her submitting to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told Ibrahim alayhi salam. But I just want you to like think of sacrifice in your life, and think of it like in the term of, like, what are you giving up right now? What do you have right now to give up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is something that is going on in your life, whether it be something like a obligation that Allah has told you to do, your salahs that you are missing. Allah has told you to do them. Why can't you sacrifice what you want and your time and your comfort to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do? Allah, maybe it might be your hijab, that you can't sacrifice your beauty and your desires to put that hijab on. Why not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell you to do anything unless it is good. Maybe it's a haram relationship. Maybe it's, something that you're doing and you know you should not be doing. Why aren't you sacrificing it? Why can't you sacrifice it? What is holding you back? And if Gaza didn't change you, the Ramadan didn't change you, and these 10 blessed days where it's really walking in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his sacrifice isn't going to change you, or it's not going to push you to change. When? Like what? Like what? What? Like, you have no guarantee that you are going to be in the grave tomorrow. What are you waiting for? So think of the sacrifice that you have to do and just put that in your mind. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he just trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we really need to implement this stuff into our lives. And as I said, like, what sacrifice do you have right now that you need to give up? For some of us, it might be, and it doesn't, we like, it's a recurring theme that I talk about. It doesn't have to be exactly just the halam that you give up and then that's it. You think you're good for the rest of your life. No, every single one of us, we're on a journey and we're on the journey to be the best we can be. Maybe the next step for you is sacrificing your sleep. Maybe the next step for you is sacrificing your sleep and waking up before Fajr more often to pray tahajjud and to make dua. Maybe it's sacrificing your screen time because that is a bit too much right now, and increasing in your Quran time, increasing in your Quran and your dhikr, all that kind of stuff. And last night we were brainstorming with the girls and, like having a bit of someone having a bit of trouble trying to figure out and pinpoint what to sacrifice. And then we had a talk and we're like, maybe sometimes we just need to sacrifice talking. Like, just be quiet, because the backbiting and the gossiping and the stuff that we're so used to doing in every single setting, that could be eating away at every single thing that you're doing. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, like he made it equal to eating the flesh of your brother, like literally talking about them behind your back. And there are so many ahadiths about talking, like how bad backbiting and gossiping is. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just being quiet. I remember Haifa Yunus's retreat, Dr. Haifa Yunus's retreat. We were just walking from the lecture hall to the cafeteria, and I'm hearing a story where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a date seed in his mouth, and every single time he went to speak, by the time he got his hand and then he put the date seed on his on here, and then he was going to speak, this whole process would be like for him to evaluate, do I really need to say this right now? And it's like, subhanAllah, this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so think about yourself and think about the things that you need to sacrifice. And we also talked about the things I so think right now, it's like, what. And it could, and as I said, it's specific to your life. My sacrifice right now could be different to your sacrifice. My sacrifice right now could be different to my sacrifice 3 months ago and will be different to my sacrifice 6 months later. It's all depending on you. As long as you are sacrificing, like I'm going to keep on saying this word, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice so much this episode, because get the essence of it. Like, don't just go about these days and just let them go airy fairy. And the main thing, like, yes, the deeds done in this day are so beloved and so extra rewarded. But the sins done in these days are also magnified as well, and there is a greater punishment for them. For example, in your room right now, if you were to sin, it is not as great as sinning in front of the Kaaba. It's still a sin, and it is still punishable, and it is still wrong. But doing it in front of, in that holy place, like, see how the location determines the level of punishment or the level, like, of severity of the sin. Right now, we're in a time, time difference, like different days of the year. Yeah, it's sinning is bad, but sinning in these blessed 10 days, it's something else as well. And it's like when that meme was going away. It's like when that meme was going around, and like if someone does something in Ramadan, it's like, feel Ramadan, like you're doing this in Ramadan because the time and the month is a blessed month. So why are you sinning now? Like, you get what I mean. I think if we just say that meme, like feel Ramadan, you understand what I mean. And so it's like we were talking about sacrificing in terms of like the gray areas where you're not sure about. And something my friend really brought up, it's actually like pretty awesome. Like, she's a psychologist. She's one of those people. Like, she's a counselor studying to be a psychologist, and she brought up cognitive dissonance. And it's where your action and your belief, the further apart they are from each other, there is an inconsistency, and that further apartness where it's like dissonance up, the further apart it goes, it just creates a more of conflict between yourself. So when you have a belief and you have an action and they don't link up, and so if you understand this, it'll make sense. So you're putting the grapes on the scale and you're selecting it as onions so that it is cheaper for you, so that you know that that is wrong. So your belief is that is wrong and your action is doing the opposite. So the way to bring that gap closer is either of three things. Either you can change the belief entirely, where you say, oh no, this isn't even wrong in the first place. And then that way, like your action and your, like, because you change your belief, your action is like in line with it. Or you could change your action. You could be like, your belief says this is wrong. So you're like, okay, you know what? This is wrong. And then you change it and you just select the right thing, or you do it in the right way. You change your action instead of changing your belief. Or the third way is changing the action's perspective. Like, for example, being like, oh, this isn't even that bad. Like Coles and Woolies, like the supermarkets here in Australia, they rip people off anyway. So it's like, it's not even like it's making a difference. And so that brings that dissonance closer together. Do you get what I'm saying? So subhanAllah, that cognitive dissonance, like your fitrah tells you what to do. Your fitrah knows what you should be giving up. Your fitrah knows, and it tells you what is right and what is wrong. And so if you really understand like this cognitive dissonance, like you can see how your fitrah comes into play. And so it's like whenever there's a belief that you have, being our Islamic beliefs, and the actions that do not line up your actions, there's three ways you can go about it. You can either change the belief and change what you think of it entirely. You can change your action and just do the completely right thing, or you can change your perception. And this is the third one, is what a lot of people do. They try and justify their sin, or justify why they're not doing this. So be really, really aware of that. SubhanAllah, the ayah that really comes to my mind when thinking of that is obviously, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will find them a way out. Never, ever, ever, as the Prophet ﷺ says, never, ever do you give something up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that He replaces it with better, like with absolute. And I remember us saying, like, if only, if the contentment is the only thing that you got in return for giving that up, wallahi, it is better than everything in the world. We're going to be sacrificing right now. And just know with certainty, never, ever, ever do you give up something for the sake of Allah, except that He replaces it with something better. Like, you need to know that in the heart, the same way that Ibrahim, Ismail, and Hajar alayhi salam knew that indeed Allah only commands good, and He only commands just, and He only commands ihsan. You need to know anything, 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 even if it's something halal, even if it's something good, regardless of what it is, whatever you give up for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with so much better. And so you need to know that. And so have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the outcome will be better for you in this life and also in the next life as well. And another ayah that came to my mind is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَغْنَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And for the one that was arrogant and preferred this life, then definitely the Jahannam is going to be where they end up forever. Like, if you are going to be arrogant as to what you are, like, you have to do, and thinking that you are beyond and above the rules and obligations and what is right, and you prefer this life, you are preferring the temporary pleasures of this dunya, Allah saying is like, go for it. But the Jahannam is going to be where you're going to end up, and where your actions is, it's going to be where your actions will lead you to. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away, He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. SubhanAllah, like, and for the one that fears the standing that they are going to have with their Lord, and they withhold their nafs from their desires, then indeed the Jannah is where they're going to be forever. Like, SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, like, in these just like couple of ayats, he puts it so like particular, like, your arrogance is what is stopping you. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to do this, what are you doing? Like, you have to, we're a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're obviously not doing that thing you're supposed to be doing because you prefer the temporary pleasures, the ease, the fun of this dunya. Cool. But the Jahannam is where those actions are going to land you in. But if you, like, the reward of an eternal Jannah for fearing the day of judgment and the day you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the fearing action and the actual action of withholding your nafs, Allah's giving you a forever Jannah. And it's really up to us. And I really want every single one of us to actually put in the work and try their best to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these 10 days, especially through the sacrifice. And really, really do a lot of dhikr on your tongue, especially during the days, like Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. There are things that are really, really hard to give up, and you think that giving it up isn't going to do anything, or there's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do, but you don't see the benefit in it, or you don't see the point of it. And just once again, let's go back to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he built the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make the call. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is like, I'm just one person in the desert. Who's going to hear my call? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, you make the call, and like, I'll deal with the rest. I will spread it. And subhanAllah, every single year, millions and millions of Muslims around the world are going to respond to Ibrahim alayhi salam's call. And that's just like to show you that you do your part and leave the rest to Allah. It might be hard for you. You might not see the benefits of it straight away. And it actually might be hard on you. Like, sometimes, for example, speaking up and saying the right thing, if you say the right thing and it's, you know, it's right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, majority of the time the people are going to be against you. So you get a, you know, it's right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you know that there's going to be negative consequences for what you are saying. But as long as you do it by right by Allah, wallahi, you'll never lose. Never, ever, 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 ever do you do something for the sake of Allah, whether it be giving up something or doing something, except that He rewards it with better. He gives you so much more, and He opens up so many doors. So I really want you to think of that, and think of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he's like, I'm just one man. Who is going to hear my call? I'm in the desert. You do your part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with the rest. And so I really encourage you all, especially, like, this was just like a little quick, like, just a little drill for me and for you to just really be proactive in these 10 days and, like, actually go out of your way to sacrifice, go out of your way to do stuff for the sake of Allah. Like, make yourself uncomfortable. Make yourself uncomfortable. There are, just read the stories of the Sahaba, what they sacrificed for their deen. Look at the people of Palestine and what they are sacrificing and what they are going through. Have you even been asked to do a fraction of that? We haven't. But Allah doesn't burden a soul more than they can bear. He knows what your struggles are. You know what your struggles are. You know what you are capable of doing right here, right now, today, in these 10 days. So do them, and do them with sincerity, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. So I really encourage us all to do as many good deeds in these 10 days, like increase in your Quran, increase in your salah, increase in your behavior, increase in your manners, increase in the dhikr that you do, and your morning and evening adhkar. Don't leave them on these 10 days. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best translate to, there is no one worthy of worship besides Allah alone. He has no partner. To Him belongs all supreme authority and praise, and He has power over everything. So there's two types of du'as. There's du'as where you ask and really increase in them as well, and the du'as where you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this du'a for the day of Arafah, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to say on the day of Arafah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the best du'a on the night of Laylatul Qadr is Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. This is the du'a for the day of Arafah. Increase in all of your du'as and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Just ask and ask and ask and make so much dhikr and istighfar, and especially say this du'a as well, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. I really, really pray that this was of benefit, and I urge you all, because it is so last minute and we are already in the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, to share it around as much as you can. Send me your reflections. Send us tips on how you are planning to sacrifice, how you are going to go about your day and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these 10 days. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us all. And I pray that we are all able to fast on the day of Arafah, and we get all of our sins from last year, this year, and the next year forgiven as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Until next time.